I'd like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush, the latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Well, this is some bad news here, Angel. About a month ago, we were going over the potential Nuggets depth chart, talking about what that might look like and where Vlatko Chanchar might fit in that scenario. Well, take him out of your depth chart right now, because over the weekend, well, Friday, I guess, bad news. While Chanchar was representing Slovenia, he suffered a left ACL tear. And now, as of right now, there's no timetable for when his surgery is going to happen. He went up for a dunk through two defenders, landed awkwardly on his left knee, and then he was carried off the court by the team's medical staff. Yikes. And that is... Now, again, injuries can happen anytime. You saw Jamal Murray do it late in the season against a Golden State team in a game that really didn't mean that much. So I'm not... These injuries can happen, but... This is why I'm not necessarily banging the table when players like Nikola Jokic say they don't want to play for their... It's not that they don't want to. They're just not going to play for their home country or whatever. I'm not mad about it, whether it's an American or not. I don't care. Because you've just played a really long season, and now you've got to go keep playing to get ready. I mean, we're not that far away from NBA training camp starting back up, Angel. It's not that far away. So that one's a bummer, obviously. That's got he done for the season, if not longer. So, was he going to be an impact player for the Nuggets this upcoming season? I think there's a lot of talk that he might be. You know, as they're trying to figure out who's going to, maybe it's going to be a committee type that replaces Bruce Brown. Chanchar's name was certainly up there as a guy that might squeeze in some more minutes. You know, he didn't see any in the playoffs and such, but maybe he could grow a little bit in this upcoming season. So that is one of those stories you definitely don't want to hear. Whether you want to hear it or not, the conference realignment world is with us more than ever before. It's been going on forever, since college football was in existence. But it just, after Friday's hit, with so many teams leaving at such a high clip, it has us really talking about the future of the Pac and all of that. Well, the Cal football coach, Justin Wilcox, was upset, as you could understand. He called Friday's departures of 5 teams to the other conferences sad and likely preventable after Oregon, Washington announced their departures from the Big Ten in 2022 and 2024. Then Arizona State, and Utah did the same to join the Big 12. Cal is one of only 4 remaining Pac-12 members, with Stanford, Oregon State, and Washington State. Now, the Pac has been the Pac in some variation or whatnot for over 100 years. Whether it was the PCC and then the Pac and the Pac-8 and the Pac-10, the Pac-12, all that stuff. That's why Friday's news was just so earth-shattering. Even though we kind of saw it coming, there's part of me that didn't know for sure if it was going to happen. That the teams, you know, Oregon's head coach is talking about CU leaving and not really talking trash, just saying, what has he brought to the conference? You have these other teams talking about sticking with the Pac-12. Hell, even CU 3 weeks ago was Phil DeStefano was saying, that's our plan is to be with the Pac-12. And then they got whiff of the TV deal, the media deal, and they got the hell out of there as fast as possible. San Diego State pulled back its commitment, and all these teams left and right. But was it preventable? It was preventable a few years ago, maybe 11 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it speaks to the leadership of your conference, but to say it's unprecedented is not quite accurate, because this has been going on in college football for years. And if you actually dig into it a little bit, even, you know, as far as 20 years ago, you'll see, teams have been moving conferences all over the place. You know, do you remember the Big East? Remember the Southwest Conference? Remember when Nebraska was in the Big 12?
Yeah.
Florida State was an independent?
Yeah, and
it's
all
been
those
happening for a while.
Those moves all just changed the landscape of college football, college sports.
And it was settled for about 20 years or so, and now it's evolving again.
Because it's all about the media stuff. as the media deals continue to evolve into bigger and bigger portions of money, teams are, and again, the other thing to think about here too, there's more desperation for teams to join the bigger conferences so they get more money. Obviously, they want more money all the time anyway. But what are teams now doing? They're sharing a piece of that pie with the NIL collectives. Now, I don't know how big of a pie that is just yet, but I know from personal experience that I have worked with businesses that have to make a choice between, do I want to put my dollars, my marketing dollars, or whatever I want to call that, into CSU, the stadium, sponsorship opportunities, that kind of thing, or do I want to put my dollars into the NIL collective or just marketing through that? I know specific businesses that can't do those kind of things because they're boxed out by a certain sponsor or whatever, so they just do NIL. But the bottom line is, I mean, you got guys like Archie Manning getting millions of dollars, right? You got a lot of situations now where big businesses, and what I'm talking about is small compared to some of these other conferences, but you don't think that there's big businesses that have to decide, okay, I'm not going to give Alabama as a program my full marketing budget. I'll give them some of it, and then I'm going to do an NIL deal with about four or five different players here. They are dealing with that. They're selling against each other, essentially.
Oh, when you scale it to the small businesses, it can be fairly simple. But when the bigger businesses are using money as if it's, you know, 25 cents here, 25 cents there, it becomes way more complicated, and there's just bigger money involved. And you're forcing these 18, 19, 20-year-old kids to go through all this financial literacy when they're just trying to play football or they're just trying to play sports.
We have just opened up this brand new world. And listen, I agree with you where, yeah, conference realignment's been going on. It has been, but
it hasn't been this drastic.
We just haven't seen a conference disappear overnight. I mean, we just haven't seen it like that. Because Friday was historic.
The Big East was slow. The Southwest was slow. The Big 12 has kind of been just meandering in its weird shape. And now it's starting to find itself, I think. But yeah, and unfortunately, it leaves the Pac-12 and everything west of Oklahoma kind of just out to dry.
Yeah, it does. And that was why Friday was just so significant. And whether you're looking at it from a positive lens or a negative lens, it was significant.
I can tell you, I feel it more in this region of the country than I see a lot of my Southeastern, even Big Ten people reacting to it. It's reacting because it's big news, but here it obviously feels something.
Yeah, because the Big Ten and the Big 12, like, great, we just got a little richer. The rich got a little richer. In terms of a football fan, like a fan of the sport. Oh,
well, regionally, this was the Pac-12's region.
Yeah.
And now you don't have that anymore.
And that's what we knew would happen. In the state of Colorado, for example, when we talk about all these teams and the CSU, CUs, heck, even up north in Wyoming, if there's going to be talk of conference realignment and a team moving on to a bigger and better conference, it's going to be CU first, because we know that if they're good, they lead everything. CSU fans hate to hear that, but that was the truth. They were in the power conference. They were in the Pac-12. They've been in the power conferences. And now that they've left, we look at the pieces left over here, and yeah, we're scrambling, trying to figure out what's next for CSU. For Wyoming, feel bad for Wyoming. CSU, I think, is still kind of in these conversations, right? And I don't know how deep a conversations they're in right now. But, like, nobody's talking about Wyoming going anywhere. They're just hopeful that CSU sticks around and that the teams come to them in the Mountain West. That's what Wyoming's plan is right now. I mean, did Wyoming make a phone call? Did they even make a phone call? And again, when I say this, fans just freak out and assume that I'm saying that the powers that be are just, you know, sitting on a beach somewhere, not caring about anything. When I tweeted what I tweeted last week, it was, I don't think that there's an aggressive plan to get into the Big 10 or Big 12.
Calling this person.
Yeah, a couple of phone calls.
Talk to them. All right, if you hear anything, let me know.
Yeah.
And then they'll say, hey, let me know to some other person that called them. It's Jay Norvell saying, hey, I'll let you guys know when I hear something.
That's
all it is.
I just don't know that there's this elaborate, you know, 50-page bullet point presentation of why our school can help you.
Everyone is starting off at a different point.
Yeah.
In this realignment race, everyone's at a different starting point, and some are trying to catch up, some are trying to pull away, some are trying to just—they like where they're at.
Dixon, the SEC and Big Ten have become the two big dogs, Everybody else is basically in Tier 2 or Tier 3 conferences, no matter what playoff structure they come up with. And the chance that everybody gets to win it, the champ is still going to come out of the top two probably 98% of the time.
Because the top two conferences are top heavy. It's Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan.
Yeah, that's probably going to be the case for right now. You know, I'm subscribing to more wishful thinking, maybe, that in 10 years, the whole idea of go be on the bench for Alabama for 2 years or go start for CSU for, you know, 3 years and get us to win a playoff, get to a playoff appearance and maybe win one. I'm still subscribing to that hope right now that that would spread these teams out a little
more. I think the way the playoff is set up, one loss is the margin of error. If you get more than one loss, you are basically out of the playoff picture. Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, yeah.
And until the playoff expands and you can get some two-loss teams in there, it's going to feel like, oh, it's always the same teams. Because those teams are good. Those teams only lose one game a year. When we get to 12 teams and Bama and Ohio State and Georgia and they lose two games a year, then the level of competition goes down. The standard gets lowered.
Yeah, yeah.
So eventually it will. Everyone will catch up to the top. Once you start getting more teams that aren't, yeah, you're going to have an undefeated team. You may have a one-loss team, but you're going to have a lot of two- and three-loss teams, too.
That's the hope, is that it spreads out eventually. That maybe this is the plan. Maybe this plan with the power conferences and such, and then still the opportunity for two group of five or group of six, whatever the hell they're going to be called, can get in. That spreads things out a little bit more.
It's not immediate, but it takes CSU getting to the college football playoff to get a recruit to say, hey, there's CSU. There's a school I could go to.
Yeah, it's like a Torrey Horton.
It takes one recruit to go to CSU to say, hey, I got some buddies that went to school with me. They're going to come to CSU too, and they're four or five stars.
Do you think Torrey Horton could go start for South Carolina?
No.
No? Just not there?
I mean, maybe like wide receiver three. That's just comparing the talent that South Carolina has.
That's pretty legit. You know,
their average receiver is probably a four-star guy.
Could he go start for, let's see, like a Rutgers?
Oh, yeah.
There's a Big Ten school. So what you're going to need is guys like Torrey Horton to continue to want to stay committed here, show that you can. So look at Michael Gallup for Dallas.
Yep.
A really good wide receiver. He's been plagued with some injuries recently, but a pretty good receiver that at one point was kind of moving his name up to like a top 15 type receiver.
Well, that's another thing is how much the NFL impacts our view of college success. It's, oh, Bama has a lot of players in the NFL. They must be pretty good at football. Oh, Ohio State, they got like four quarterbacks in the NFL. They must be good. CSU, you got to get some guys in the NFL.
Yeah, and if Trey McBride can turn around, we're going to see Trey McBride on Friday probably. If Trey McBride can go out and show that he's a heck of a tight end, and he stuck around CSU. You know, he was one of the best
CSU's,
players ever.
They're known for their receivers.
Yeah.
Like in the pros, at
get
least.
Back to that. And they got another one in Torrey Horton. Who knows? Justice Ross Simmons might go off and have himself
that's
a great
a receiver
year.
Name right there.
Yeah.
You got three names. It's perfect.
That's a good receiver name. CSU has some good receiver name. Torrey Horton is a receiver name. That's a good, that's good one. Horton just sounds like a receiver. Justice Ross Simmons sounds like
there's
a receiver.
There's a hyphen in there?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hyphen is a good football name.
Oh, it's a very good one. Dallin Holker, good tight end name. Just a good tight end name. But there's just a lot here, man, and the season's coming up, and you want to win, you got to be successful, and you want your players that are in the NFL to go be successful too, because those are recruiting tools that you're using. You know, look at these players. They came to CSU. They didn't even win a lot of games, and look where he went. Trey McBride was in a very miserable run for CSU throughout his career, and yet he got drafted in the second round. Those are all stories that you're looking to compile and set yourself up for. But again, so much of this depends on what the college football playoff system does. I hope they stick with their plan. I believe they will for the foreseeable future. But that is a concern of mine because that changes how I look at this. I'm not like necessarily saying the sky is falling. If the current playoff system, the new playoff system starting next year, will stay in place, and it truly is going to be the best six conference champs first. Those are the first ones that are getting in. Then you have a realistic shot because now you got four powers and then you got two others that you could get in. So you got two. So the chances just kind of went up in my mind. 20 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Take a quick break here. Sean Keeler will join me from the Denver Post a little bit later on in the program. Give you a quick update when we come back on what the conferences currently look like right now, the additions that have been made. We'll get to that and more. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
How the conference turns. Little soap opera-y. You big soap opera guy, Angel? Did you ever, grandparents ever have the soap opera, the soaps on? The stories on?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Like, was it Young and the Restless?
Young and the Restless. As the World Turns.
General Hospital.
General Hospital. It was funny, though. My grandparents used to watch. My grandpa didn't watch him until he retired from farm life, and then he was, like, getting into it. Mm-hmm. I'd go watch him, like, during lunch. I'd be sitting in there with them, and they'd have it on. And then I'd come in, like, 2 weeks later, and the story had only advanced, like, you know, an hour. Mm-hmm. You know? Because one scene is, like, 2 weeks.
Oh, and they know all the characters from, like, storylines years ago. Mm-hmm. And they're like, how do you know what happened to Bernice and her cousin from that season? What?
My grandma would be like, see, that one there, we don't trust.
Why?
Yeah, we don't trust her. Oh, that,
That Janice.
That Janice.
Mm-mm.
And then you're like, and I'm, you know, my grandpa used to make fun of my grandma for watching them. And then when my grandpa retired, he was like the first one. See, this one here, we can't stand her. And then I made fun of them. And then 2 weeks of me watching it, suddenly I'm like, now, why is she pissed? I don't understand why she's got room to be mad. You know, I'm all into it now. Those were great days.
They're dramatic.
The soaps, the stories. Well, this is a never-ending story now, or at least an ending story for the Pac-12.
That's another good show.
Never-ending story? Oh, yeah. So good. That was totally changed my perception of quicksand, though. Totally thought quicksand was going to kill us all at one point.
Well, you never know.
I just thought, man, there's quicksand waiting for all of us to just fall in it.
Well, at least we're ready for it.
Yeah, we know what to do. Stay still. And hope someone comes and helps you.
Is college football in quicksand?
Yes. Now, yes and no.
Okay.
Like, as a whole, are all these moves better for college football? Just for college football, the betterment of college football.
It's hard to say. I call it more of an evolution of college football. It feels like for the past 15, 20 years, we've been complaining that, oh, college football needs to be fixed, or we're tired of the same teams winning. All right, we're trying to do that, but it takes drastic change.
Well, this is certainly pretty close to that, based on what we saw last week and
Friday. It feels
crazy
that it's been nonstop the last 3 years. With NIL and the transfer portal, it's been one after the other.
Oh, yes. Oh, and then you get the story, the bad stories, too, like the Northwestern stuff, all those crazy stories. You get those. It is a different business. I'll tell you that. It's a completely unique business. And it is a business. And we're seeing more. It's becoming more and more of a business as we speak. Certain players, depending on certain teams, are being treated like free agents. The transfer portal, jump in. But the only difference is there's no salary cap. So these teams, great teams, can just keep getting great players, and they cut the ones they don't think are going to be good.
College football is like Christmas. It's really cool and magical when you're growing up. As you get older, you start to see some of the reality of it. And it doesn't have that same magic.
No, and this is why whenever I started the show, I always, you know, I would say I like the NBA more than college basketball. I like the NFL more than college football. And I'll never forget, you get those, I don't care what age they are, but you just get people, no, Brady, you're wrong. I love college because it's pure. You know, these guys play truly for the game. And I'm like, they're playing in hopes that they get to the big level.
I used to think that too.
Yeah, I know.
So they started getting paid.
It's okay.
That was my whole thing against NIL was you're getting rid of the passion for wanting to. I want to go to CU to play for CU, not I want to go to play for Coach Prime.
Yeah, human nature's stepping in. We're seeing it now. We're allowing character to creep out, and we're learning what's more important to certain people. Mm-hmm. Players will go transfer away for a better shot at starting, or because they've got NIL money, or because they don't like the head coach, or whatever. We're just seeing it now. These were all realities. They just weren't allowed to act upon them. Now they're, I mean, NIL was happening forever. It just wasn't legal.
We painted college football, as you said, like a pure thing, yeah. And it's so special and so good. And then you start really getting into it and realizing, oh, it's kind of a jumbled mess in
there. It's kind of dirty. There's a lot of things to it that are kind of dirty. You know, the recruiting scandals we've heard about with Louisville and all this crap with Northwestern. Bad coaches left to be in place at Penn State. Bad people left to be in power. And just we looked the other way until it was too hard to avoid. So as far as that goes, it's always had its dirt. There's always dirt there. It's not to say every player and coach and all that, AD and all. It's not to say all of them are dirty. It's just the nature of this beast. To stay competitive so you can keep your job and stay relevant and do all the things you need to do.
How much do you think is this going to overshadow the football season upcoming? Or is it just, hey, when the season starts, we got games, we're going to just talk about football?
I think when the season starts, we're just going to talk about football, I think.
Is there a sense that people are looking forward just to next year? When, okay, everything is settled, we got the 12 teams, I just want this year, I just want it to be over with.
Yeah, how would you feel being Washington State right now? Going, we got a big Pac-12 season coming. Does it really matter?
If you want to be the last Pac-12 champion, there's something to play for.
There would be something to motivate your team. Go win the Pac-12. Let's get into a playoff game. Let's be the team. All these other guys are leaving. We're in. So, there's a lot. You got to use that for something to play for. We're like Stanford, who doesn't really have a chance to win it. What are they? I mean, not the Washington State really does either. Oregon State, maybe.
They are ranked 18th in the coaches' poll.
Yeah. Like Oregon State.
It's a good team.
But that's, if I'm Oregon State, I'm going, we don't know what we're doing yet, but we know we're going to do something. Let's go.
For a team like that, because they've taken so long to get to this respectable.
Now, they're just now getting
there. And now it's, you're ranked good. We're going to cut your budget in half.
Yep. Where are you going?
I don't know, some mountain region area.
It's like it's like in Major League. You know, we know that she's selling the team. We're all going to be disbanded and going to have to find different teams. We only got one option, and that's win the whole blanking thing. And that's how you got to view it this year. There's no tomorrow necessarily. There's no clear tomorrow for us. So let's take a look at it. What do we know at this point on August 7th? Well, for the SEC, not a whole lot has changed. We already knew about this one for a while. We know that they're getting Texas and Oklahoma to go along with the likes of Alabama and LSU and Georgia and South Carolina, Texas A&M, all those historically good programs.
That will start next year.
Next year, 2024. We know that in the Big Ten, also for 2024, they got we knew about USC and UCLA last year. Well, just announced over the, part of Friday's news, Oregon and Washington jumping ship from the pack to join the Big Ten.
Putting them at 18 teams.
Eight. They got the most now.
In 2024.
Mm. Trying to get to 20.
I don't know if they're doing divisions still. I feel like with 20 teams, you
got
to have to do.
You
got to
do. That's
can't just do the top two out of 20.
And then you just pair the two division winners up. Championship
now, would they
game.
Do divisions by region? Or
they should.
Random draw.
They should do divisions what makes more sense for travel.
Right, you know, those the four Pac-12 teams should be in a division with, you know, Nebraska and Illinois and as westward as you can get in the Big Ten.
And they'd still stay, so with the USC's, UCLA's, and Oregon's, they'd stay in the same.
I'd put them in, like, the Big Ten West.
Yeah, I guess. I'd be curious to see if they would do that.
Well, it's because the SEC, they're getting rid of divisions. So it's just going to be the top two in the SEC go to the championship.
And that's what the Mountain West is doing, too. Mm-hmm. Side note.
That's what the Big 12 has done for years.
And I kind of like that because it's truly the best teams.
I think it works in the Big 12 because they do more of a round robin type of deal. The SEC, they're still stuck on 8 conference games for some reason. I think the Big 10 is trying to up their conference games. But it's weird because you want to get those home and homes out of conference games with other big schools. I would prefer if the SEC was playing 9 conference games.
Yeah.
If you want to be the best conference, show me and play 9 of your opponents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That'll be I'll be curious to see if they end up doing something like that. The Big 12, we knew about UCF, Houston, BYU, Cincinnati.
That starts this year.
That starts this year. So that gets them to 12 this year, right?
Yep.
And then in 2024, along with those four additions.
Technically 14 this year with Texas and Oklahoma still.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, my bad. Forgot about that one.
Not technically.
Yeah. We know Colorado is now with the Big 12. Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah, all part of Friday's news, those last three. So that will get them to 2024 will get them to 16, right?
Yep.
The ACC,
no change. They're holding firm.
All is steady right now.
They have a TV deal with ESPN in place till 2036, so they're good.
Do they have an option to look at that though? Because that's a long contract.
I'm sure down the line, but as I said earlier, the two big ones, Clemson, Florida State, their buyouts are massive.
Yeah. Well, so the ACC, quiet, at least right now.
I could see them, they could be looking at a Mountain West school, possibly. If they want to get up, because now they're at 14. If they want to get up to 16 to match the rest of the Power Four.
Who would make sense for them geographically wise?
It doesn't matter anymore.
I know, but I'm just wondering if
Oregon State, Washington State.
Yeah.
Oh, we're on the Pacific Coast, but we're in the ACC.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Travel for you guys. Don't worry about it. Okay, so the ACC's quiet for now, but probably going to try to add so they can get to 16 or so. Mountain West, quiet. Nobody has left the Mountain West. San Diego State pulled out a couple of weeks ago, right, kind of a week or two before media days. Mm-hmm. And so they're staying put. So it's still the same old cast of 11 teams, including CSU and Boise State and Wyoming and San Diego State and UNLV. PAC is down to 4. Washington State, Oregon State, California, and Stanford. And we have 3 independents now. Is that right?
Yep, because BYU is
BYU, that's
now
right.
Big 12.
So Army, Navy, and Notre Dame. And Notre Dame is still kind of an X factor in all this.
They kind of are and they kind of aren't. I don't see them making a move. They're going to stay as independent as they possibly can. They love their NBC TV deal, and they don't want to lose it.
Yeah, so if it's about money and you're getting great money in that deal, then why would you lose it?
It works because all their games are on TV.
Okay, so prediction. We won't be right, but let's predict. Washington State, where do they go? Do they go to the ACC? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I don't know if the ACC could actually do that.
I don't think they could. Dude, that would kill all the other sports.
It would ruin their name, too. It wouldn't make sense.
No.
The most realistic option, and as sucky as it would be for those schools, is the Mountain West.
So Washington State to the Mountain West? Mm-hmm. Or they just...
Yeah.
And Oregon State, too?
Yep.
Which would be good. Cal?
Maybe. I think it would be smart on the Mountain West part to get a California market. So I would grab Cal if you could.
And then Stanford.
They'll probably go independent.
Wow.
But that puts you at 14, even number. There you go.
Yeah, we don't want you, Stanford.
You don't need 13. That's just weird.
Yeah, we don't want you. So we're good. I don't know. The logistics, people way smarter than me are making these decisions. I don't know, actually, the way it's gone down. We'll see, man. It's crazy time as the conference turns in college sports. 38 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Shout out to Cable's Pub and Grill. All you can eat spaghetti today going on there at the one and only Cable's Pub and Grill for just $5.95. Their spaghetti is the king, and you can get it for just $5.95. All you can eat, thanks to Cable's Pub and Grill. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Zach Stevens says, another good day for Russell Wilson. He's starting to stack days. Really encouraging. Okay, there we go. That's what we needed to hear. We needed to hear some positives there about Russ, and maybe we should change our approach to this and just look at more of a positive angle. That maybe, just maybe, it's going to take a little time to get into this system with Sean Payton, and we'll all be fine. I needed to hear a report like that, though, because that helps me not want to put all my stock into Friday's game. You know, I'm not going to anyway. It's a preseason game. They don't mean anything. They just don't. You're mainly looking for utter disaster. Because if they can't get a play in and you're having those issues, that's when you start to freak out. Even if Russ comes out and, you know, he throws six complete passes in a row and drives you right down the field and you score a touchdown, I'm still not going to say Russ is back. And if he gets sacked and they go three and out twice in a row, and I'm not going to necessarily say, uh-oh. But I'm definitely going to – listen, the whole point of this right now, August 7th, I've got my guard up to be let down. I'm not expecting greatness from Russ. I think he can turn it around, but I needed a report like this from Zach Stevens today. I needed this.
Well, there's going to be a strong reaction either way.
Oh, people will freak out one way or the other.
There will be, oh my God, the season's over. We're never going to win again, or we're going to go undefeated and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think people are going to go to one extreme or the other. And the truth is probably for now somewhere in the middle, I think. Can Russ be a serviceable quarterback? Can he be all right? And that's where my expectations are set right now. I'm not looking for him to be the Russ that was on the Hall of Fame trajectory. I'm just looking for him to not look absolutely lost out there. Again, I go back to the Seattle game. Think of it is, You probably, a lot of us wrote it off at the time as, oh, this is the newness. Oh, he should have played in the preseason. It'll round itself out. But it didn't really get much better than that. You were dealing with a lot of those kind of issues, maybe not quite to that magnitude, but you were dealing with a lot of those issues throughout the course of the season. So I'm just saying, go in with very mild expectations for Friday. Go in hopeful, but know that if you see something that's a little off and maybe Russ doesn't look 100% on, don't hit the panic button. But then also don't get your Super Bowl tickets. Don't start looking at flight plans if he throws for two touchdowns and sits down. Feel good about it. Yo, you're going to press the panic button if he's bad. Oh, you're going to cheer if he's great.
Susan said, boo if he's good.
I'm just not totally in the freak out camp, and I'm not totally in the he's going to be the most improved player of the year camp either. I'm not there on both sides.
I mean anything better than last year is a positive and an improvement. Is he going to get back to Seattle Russ? I don't know.
But you don't know, which means you kind of think he could. There's part of you that thinks he could.
I don't have a lot of faith that he will. I think he could become a new version of Broncos Russell Wilson. Not as bad as last year, but, you know, serviceable, as you said.
Do you feel like the company narrative, the what we want to get out to the media, is that Russ is great? Because I've seen more players than ever coming out saying, Russ is great. Zach Allen. Russell Wilson is still a great athlete. I mean, you're hearing more and more players come out all the time saying, you know, I'm getting to play with Russell freaking Wilson.
Well, it's that pedestal you're putting him on because of, you know, his experience in the NFL, and it's a credit to him, and he deserves the, you know, the praise for that. But also, he's at a different point in his career. Even when you go to a new team, it's a different point in your career. It's another chapter.
Yeah.
It's different from Seattle. So you can't so much look at him anymore as, yeah, that's the Russell Wilson from Seattle. No, this is Denver Broncos. This is Russell Wilson. He is, as much as he's creating his new version of himself, the players are having to see him as a new version of himself.
Yeah, it's a completely different shift.
When you're expecting Seattle Russ to come back and he doesn't show up, you say, oh my God, he's broken. He's awful. What happened? Well, it's just his natural decline as a player is happening, and it's just in a different form with a different team.
What we really needed to see, or what we learned about Russell Wilson, was that he's not Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning went from the Colts situation and quickly transitioned to the Broncos and was good. You know, they were, I think they were 3-3 to start went his first year, and then they never lost after that. Mm-hmm. But it was a pretty quick transition because Peyton Manning mentally is so smart. He was so good at football. And Russ has made a career off of broken plays and running around, and I got to do – you can't plan for that.
Well, it's not to say he doesn't have a football IQ, but when you talk about that, you put Peyton and Tom Brady up in there in terms of guys that just know football.
Yeah, they know the reads. They know what they're looking for. They know how to call out different plays. And Russell Wilson was a Brett Favre-type guy in Seattle. He was a guy that's just, I got to run around and make plays. And if my first two progressions aren't open, I've got to make something happen now. And that's why there was like this weird joke but kind of serious thing last year. It's like, how do you plan for a play to break down? Just like almost plan for it.
Well, there were plays that kind of broke down, and then Russ didn't react the way he normally would.
Yeah.
So is it, do you need scripted breakdowns?
Is that what the wristband's for? As crazy as that sounds, you know how you like allow a screenplay? Like you have guards that just automatically let defensive linemen through just so they can wheel out and be in front of the running back? Well, it looks like a broken play at the very first sight, and then you realize, it's a screenplay. Do you need plays like that?
That was the wristband plays.
Those were the wristband plays. Yes. Luke texting a sixth best O-line in the AFC. Is that enough for a top 10 QB? Probably. For third tier, no way.
Do you have a top 6 offensive line?
Is that what the rating is? I'm not disagreeing with that. I think adding McGlinchey and
in the NFL, if you can have a top 15 O-line, you should expect your quarterback to be in the top 15 as well.
Then the expectation should be high for Russ because you brought in Ben Powers and Mike McGlinchey to add with a guy you're really high on in Quinn Meinerz, and then you're hoping Lloyd Cushenberry works out. But that offensive line on paper looks really freaking good, so maybe the expectation should be up there for Russ.
Well, it's just, if you can keep your quarterback upright, more often than not, he's going to complete passes.
And I do, but according to my tiers, I do have Russell Wilson as a tier 3 quarterback this year.
With the top five line,
does that help him?
Put you tier 2.
That pushes him up to tier 2. Should.
Because
should.
Even Patrick Mahomes doesn't have the best offensive line.
If we get this line is as good as it's advertised right now, then that should be enough to help Russell Wilson move up to tier 2. If not, then Russ is just that bad. There's so many things that are helping and working for Russ this year that there's not a lot of excuses if it's bad. We went out and got you a better offensive line. Yeah, you lost Tim Patrick, but, you know, we're hoping that Greg Dulcich at tight end will help you out a lot. And who knows, maybe Marvin Mims Jr. comes out of nowhere and surprises us. Zach Stevens tweeted out moments ago, we're going to try to get him on the program sometime this week, that we can expect 15 snaps right now for the starters on Friday. 15 snaps. 12:50 the time. We're going to wrap up hour number 2. Sean Keeler of the Denver Post will join us in the 1 o'clock hour. You don't want to miss that. We'll go all over the place with Sean. So we're looking forward to that interview as always. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Your games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Clay Millen was looking very Patrick Mahomes-like in one of the videos over the weekend. I didn't see this. We don't get to see that cool stuff, but we get to see some things. This happened over the weekend. Clay's rolling out to the right, jumps in the air, throws a deep ball. Did he hit Torrey Horton on that? I don't know who it was. I was so mesmerized by the jump.
Ooh, I just hope he doesn't do that every play.
No, but he did some jump plays last year, I remember. I gave him a hard time, but I think he completed a couple of them. I like Clay because here's what I feel about Clay Millen. I feel like that quarterback's not comparing him to Patrick Mahomes. I'm just saying he's the kind of guy that will do unorthodox-looking things to just advance the football.
I mean, we've heard from him himself that, you know, he surprises himself sometimes.
Yeah,
when he does stuff like that.
He's more athletic than I thought he was going to be. So I'm seeing what I did note, and I didn't bring this up Friday. The cannons, the guns. He's got some guns, dude. He's been in the gym. I texted him about it. I said, "Dude, you're looking yoked. What's the plan?" I've been hitting the gym. He's got some big guns out there, man. It's going to help him launch that bad boy. But that was a nice little play. It's exciting. It's fun right now. It's cool. So, and then, you know, I'm seeing a bunch of cool, like Blake Olson is doing a phenomenal job of putting video coverage out of all things UNC Bears.
Yeah, they got like a 5'8 running back over there.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Some good stuff going on over there, too.
Vincent
I'm excited
King
for the season.
Punting balls in the stratosphere with the golden locks. Love that. He's like a Clay Matthews type player, just with that hair, and just he brings that energy.
He was pumped. He made a nice play earlier last week, and Blake caught that on video, and that was great.
Yeah, Blake does a good job getting training camp coverage.
Well, and to spread the love, the joy here, Mark Johnson just got done interviewing Travis Hunter. And is he going to be wide receiver? Is he going to be a cornerback? Is he going to be both?
He may not catch footballs, but he can catch some fish.
He can catch some fish. He can do that, too. He's a big bass fisher. Fisherman. Is that what? Bass fisherman is what you say.
Sure.
But I enjoy seeing that stuff. It's the build-up to this. You get to know the guys a little bit more.
Everyone's got positive things to say.
Oh, nothing's bad right now, dude. Just embrace it for the moment, because in about 3 weeks, that might change. UNC Bears play on a Thursday night to start things off.
They play in August. We got football this month.
The last day of August, is that right?
Yep, 31st.
There we go.
In Abilene Christian.
Blake Olson and Matt Gaeter will be on the call. Looking forward to Matt's take coming from a former UNC Bear.
This guy's seen it.
He's seen it all, man. So I'm excited about the team we're putting out there this year. They're going to be fantastic. Maybe the best yet. So we also got football night in Northern Colorado coming up, too. Every Friday, starting at 5 o'clock, Angel's going to take over there and get us set for the big football weekend ahead. I cannot wait for that program. So it's all good stuff, man. Fall is what we do best here. We do a lot of things great at KFK, but we do fall really well. We don't fall well. We just do it well. We're not Tua. We're not learning how to fall. Final hour of the program coming up next.